How do you do, and thank you very much for letting me join you today. I'm very sorry that I must entreat upon you to allow me the privilege of digressing momentarily from our discourse this afternoon to re-engage in a slight controversy with my producer, Mr. Steele. We have found ourselves on the horns of a twin dilemma. I don't think that's quite right. You don't have twin dilemmas, do you? But dilemmas do have horns. Did you ever know a dehorned dilemma? As a matter of fact, the worst horns in the world are had by dilemmas, and I don't think anybody would know a dilemma if he met it walking up Michigan Boulevard on Saturday afternoon. But anyway, just at the fatal instant when that red hand was scissoring off the last of the third hour of the afternoon, or the first hour of the afternoon, rather, by closing on 12:30, Mr. Steele came in and said, "Paul, on my sheet it says you're supposed to advertise jellied magic, and on your sheet it says you're supposed to advertise..." "What, Winston cigarettes?" That was it. "What are you going to do? These decisions kill me." You see, what happens is up in my office, a schedule is made of the participating sponsors who generously contribute to the maintenance of my establishment, so I can eat, you know, and things like that. And then down in scheduling, they make another list of the sponsors, and never the twain shall meet. I don't know why it is there can be so much confusion. You see, some sponsors are on the air one day and some are on the air another. And they all like to have some regularity of exposure to your responses. I mention them all intermittently anyway, with the resultant factor that some... Well, here, to give you an idea of how good intentions get you nowhere, I never like to overlook an opportunity to sell a sponsor's product if I can. In the first place, it's a good product. In the second place, there's every reason why you should buy it, or I wouldn't advertise it. I've still turned down more advertising contracts than I've accepted since I've been in Chicago, and that's some 15 years. I won't advertise a thing unless I like it. That doesn't mean that I have to necessarily prefer it to all others, because your taste can be different than mine and mine from yours in many things. For example, I've advertised, I guess, 3 different coffees in 15 years. And I like all 3 of them. And some people like one because it's a darker, richer, stronger blend, better than the other, which is a milder, more flavorful blend. And I don't feel the least bit of inconsistency and having recommended these 3 different kinds of coffee in 15 years, because each is the best of its respective kind of roast. I like, for example, the very heavy, dark roast. But I like espresso. I like Italian coffee. I like the very thick battery acid kind of coffee. This light pink tea variety that you drink with a bent little finger you can have. I don't like that. I'm a Swede. I was brought up on coffee so thick that if you put your spoon in it, the end of the spoon came off. I like that. But lots of people prefer another kind. Well, I advertised a coffee that was the best of the lighter roast. To be perfectly honest with you, I drank it, too. I didn't like it as well. But I drank it on the broadcast. And I would mention its name because that's what I was drinking. I didn't lie about it. Then I advertised one that was in between the two. I have since been asked to advertise another coffee. I don't like it. I don't see how anybody could like it. I will not advertise it, so I'm not advertising coffee at the moment. But anyway, every once in a while, when an account is not scheduled for broadcast, I will mention it in passing. And if a sponsor happens to be passing through town with his ear on his speaker and he hears me do this quick little commercial that he never paid a nickel for, you understand? Free bonus. He thinks that was a commercial? for which I paid Gibson all that loot? He just mentions my product, that's a commercial. Fire the guy. And this has happened. Just because I do the guy a favor and give him an extra commercial, of course, he doesn't know any differently about it. It's perfectly understandable in his reaction. But this should be a good lesson to us all. Sometimes you can get in trouble tossing favors around too liberally. Every gal has learned this in her day. And so have not a few men, that's for sure. Hello, Mr. Flynn. In the booth today, Ray Noel, our old faithful, who seems to survive so many of these altercations, and Mr. Steele, who... Are you still getting up very early in the morning, chaperoning the kilocycles? I hadn't seen you for the last few early days. I wondered. What you doing? 8 o'clock, you fortunate fellow. I don't know what sort of a karma I was born under. You know what a karma is? That's a dirty trick with a metaphysical name on it. It's a fact. I don't know what kind of a karma I was born under, but it just put me on that milk route, and I'll never get off, that's for sure. Well, let's see. Saturday, March 31st. I wonder what you're doing this afternoon. I get curious about that every once in a while. Wonder what it is you're doing. Are you listening in a house, in an automobile, in a backyard? What are you thinking about? Does this please you or displease you? I frequently wonder about that, too. If, for example, I manufactured cigarettes, like Winston cigarettes, I could smoke one myself and see how it tasted. I could farm them out over my friends and various kinds of bureaus of critics and say, what do you think of this cigarette? When everybody said, I think it's fine, then I could offer it on the market and think I had a good product. In my business, you can't do that. My product is a combination of how I feel and how you react to it. And it's entirely unpredictable. What happened out there? I heard some Irish carolers going by. One of them sounded like Watson. I would have thought one of them was Mercier, except Mercier has become program director of WBBM, and he is certainly entitled to the appreciative applause of everybody here. Art Mercier is one of the most genial, sincere, loyal, and dependable people my good fortune has enabled me to know. I've been acquainted with Arthur for 15 years. You have heard him many times on the air in his sportcasts and newscasts. I think he is probably the least disliked person in this building. I don't know anybody who dislikes Art Mercier. Not even his wife, and you know how unusual that is. He is just a real fine guy, and he has tremendous ability. And it's very interesting now to see him desert the talent side of life to become an executive. For Arthur Mercier is now program director of WBBM. And when you realize that I am a program, you figure out what this guy has to direct. There's nothing easy about this. I mean, the memory of the last few years is littered with the bones of those who have tried. And I'm not kidding. You can find former program directors of WBBM nestling on psychiatrist couches in some of the best sanitariums in our country. That's a real tough job. You got fellows like Harrington, Conway, Acree, myself. Perish the thought. You got the Mel Blairs's, you know. You got Josh Brady's. Then on top of this, you got this stable full of aphrodisiac-minded announcers who are continually getting somebody into a jam. And over this vast domain of rather shoddy brilliance, there now prevails this longtime associate of us in the talent stockade, Art Mercier. One thing he must know is that he has our full cooperation because he is one of us. And not among the least difficult either, as I recall. For Arthur, for many years, would walk into the program director's office here when the program director wanted him to do a show on Saturday or late Friday. And he would wiggle his pudgy forefinger under that program director's nose and say, "Look, I like to go hunting and I like to go fishing. And I do these things on Saturday. You haven't got enough money in your bank or enough authority in your voice or enough muscle in your influence to make me give up my hunting and fishing. You can fire me or I'll stay, but I won't work on Saturday, period." Remember that? 15 years he's done that. Now what I'm waiting to see, is when program director Art Mercier approaches a member of the talent fraternity and says, "I have a show for you to do on Saturday." And the talent says, "Mr. Mercier, I won't work on Saturday. That's my day of rest." Then what is Mercier going to do? I think I know what he'll do. He will look up from over the newly arrived bags of worry that underline his eyes. He will peer up above the desk atop that blotter full of ulcers that has come to plague him on the executive side of things. He will stretch his mouth wide through the cavernous wrinkles that suddenly have eviscerated his normal cherubic complexion. He will run his newly thin and bony fingers through his white and flaccid hair. And he will say, "Son, let me give you a word of advice. Many years ago, I was talent here too. And boy, I still might be talent here if I'd been willing to do a Saturday show. But because I wasn't willing to do it, son, they made me program director. And son, look at me now. It does me no good to go hunting on Saturdays and Sundays now because I'm worried all the time. I live under a continuity of abuse beyond anything I ever thought could live. I'm an executive, and son, if you don't quit this reluctance, if you don't stop being independent, if you don't quit making like you got responsibility and character, you're liable to wind up a program director one of these days, too. Now, I'm warning you. And you know what the announcer will do? As hot tears of gratitude come flooding down his youthful cheeks, he will go over and put his arms around aging Art Mercier and say, "My dear friend, I'm so glad you brought me to my senses. I'll do a Saturday show. Thank you for avoiding a fate like yours." That's the way it's going to be. You just watch and see. Oh, dear, dear, dear. I don't know. That's an awful tough job to hold. Ray, it's all right. Get him another handkerchief.